So, Brian, did you see the big hockey game last night?
I think I saw the highlights on SportsCenter.
Really? Yeah. I love hockey. I love it so much. What's your favorite team? Who do you root for?
The Fort Wayne Bears? Is that a team?
We don't have bears in the... my favorite team is the Columbus Jayhawks. So
the Columbus Jayhawks?
Yeah.
The Blue Jackets?
You know what? Let's just stop pretending like we know anything about hockey because we don't. But you know who does?
Bob LaChance.
Bob LaChance, who is our guest for today's show on the Simple Wholesaling Podcast, episode 151.
Welcome to Simple Wholesaling, a Christian podcast that supplies simple yet effective content for real estate investors and business entrepreneurs. Get advice, tips, and tricks so that you can stay true to your values and achieve your dreams with real estate investing you can trust. Now, introducing your host, Brett Snodgrass.
Hey, what's going on, all you fans out there? Thank you for listening to another episode of the Simple Wholesaling Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Snodgrass, and I'm with Brian Snyder, the co-host of today's episode. What's going on, Brian?
What is going on? Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining us today. So we got an awesome episode here for you today. But yeah, I'm doing well, man. How are you today, Brett?
I'm doing great. Just been spending the day with you and in my basement. So if you guys haven't heard of earlier episodes, we used to have an office north of Indianapolis in a little town called Cicero, Indiana. But now we've moved our podcast equipment. Got an office in my basement. So I'm literally living in my mom's basement. Actually, no, I'm not. That doesn't make any sense at all. Nope. This is my house with my wife and my kids. So anyways, we got a great show for you guys today. If you're tuning in just for the very first time, we like to have fun on the Simple Wholesaling Podcast. We're also a Christian podcast, so we have a spiritual foundations section of each day's show. But the main part of our show is the interview with one of the top real estate investors in the country. Today is no different. We have Bob LaChance on today's show. And the reason for the hockey intro was because Bob was a professional hockey player. And he has some great stories, by the way. So you guys stay tuned for the time that he knocked down the most dangerous hockey player in the whole league. So that was a pretty cool story.
I did feel bad, man. I don't know hockey at all. Yeah. Like, I think we're both basketball players, so we're always playing basketball during the same season as hockey and stuff. So
I know
I haven't gone to like two games in my life, but that's my extent of hockey.
I know, definitely. Yeah, me too. But my father-in-law he watches hockey all the time.
He's a Michigan guy, probably for the Red Wings.
Definitely. So stay tuned for the interview with Bob. He owns many businesses. We really dive into his coaching program that he has done a lot of coaching in his life. He has a virtual assistant business that he's had, I think, the longest. He kind of introduced virtual assistants to real estate investors, and he has a lot of great nuggets there if you guys are interested in delegating your business out. So stay tuned for that. But before we get into that, Brian, I always like to do a quick icebreaker. What is your favorite 90s TV show?
Oh, Saved by the Bell, by far.
Really?
Saved by the Bell, best show ever made.
Really?
Well, speaking of AC Slater, so our new guy, Randy, I know we've kind of talked about him on our show. And actually, he was on the last show on episode 150. We kind of did a little interview with him and stuff, but he may be like AC Slater's like brother.
Yeah.
Looks just like him. He's got the dimples and everything.
I know. Yeah. What do you think about that, Preppy?
Threw me off there. You do kind of remind me of Screech, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You kind of remind me of Mr. Belding.
what was your favorite 90s sitcom or show?
Mine was definitely Saved by the Bell. I had a crush on Kelly Kapowski.
Oh, yeah.
I think after that, I liked
I could see you being a big, like, Dawson's Creek guy.
Yeah. I could see you, like, being a Gossip Girl. So I like Full House. The music chimed in and he got the message at the end.
Yeah, I liked all the old TGIF shows. He had Full House, Step by Step, Family Matters, all those. Yeah.
There's not good messages on shows these days.
Strangers, Balky, Bartokomus.
Yeah. Hi, no. Brian. Anyways.
We should start doing that on our show, though, where we could like have some music like come in and then like give a message at the end.
That's true. I like that. Definitely. But Brian, tell us about iTunes. Let's just quick iTunes reviews. What's up, man?
I got nothing with iTunes today. So no reviews for us this week, unfortunately. But we would love to hear from you. So anytime that you want to, let us know how we're doing, what you think of the show, anything, any input. We'd love to hear about it. So definitely hop on iTunes and give us a review. We'd love to hear from you.
If you put a review in, make sure you use the word chicken nugget. If you use the word chicken nugget, I'm going to send you a free gift.
All right. I want to put a little plug in here real quick for our meetup. So we do a meetup. It is the fourth Wednesday of each month. It is called Wholesaling Made Simple. And basically what we do is we just get together about 60, 75 people, and we just take a different facet of wholesaling and we just teach it to the best of our knowledge. We really treat it as a community. So we like to get input from everybody that's there, but definitely feel free to jump on our website at www.simplewholesaling.com. Check out any info on our meetup there, or you can reach out to me at brian@simplewholesaling.com. And I would love to give you any info that you would like on our meetup. Thank you.
Now, simple tips and tricks that make real estate investing easier, faster, and better. Brett's Insight of the Week.
For Brett's Insight of the Week, we are diving into lead generation sources. And this is how you get leads in your wholesaling business. So if you don't have leads, you don't have a business. So how do you generate those leads? A couple weeks ago, actually, we talked about pay-per-click. And this is basically where you get on the internet, you pay for Google AdWords. And we talked about a company which we use called Lightmark Media. And that's what we use to generate leads through Google AdWords. But today we're going to talk about direct mail. And a few short years ago, a gentleman told me that you could write a letter to a homeowner and tell them that you want to buy their house. And it could be simple, it could be short, it could be sweet, it could be handwritten. And they would get the letter, they would call you, and then you would go out to the house and you could buy houses that way. And when I first heard that, I thought that was crazy. What are you talking about? You can't buy houses that way. You have to look online or Craigslist or MLS or whatever. But I started doing it. We got a yellow pad of paper, a red pen, a bunch of envelopes, and we would handwrite, "Hi, so-and-so. I want to buy your house at this address. Give me a call." And we would put our number and people started calling us. And I spent about $1,000 doing that. And we got a deal and we made $7,000 on that deal. And it's kind of gone from there. Now we send thousands of letters a month. And it is a great lead generation resource. Number one, you have to build a good list if you're going to do this strategy. So you're looking for people that are motivated to sell their house. So you're looking for lists that people are delinquent on their taxes, people that just got through a divorce, people that had a death in the family and they inherited a home. You know, what are their different reasons why someone would be motivated to sell their house? Or a list of code violations? You're looking for those sorts of lists, and then you send them a postcard or a letter. You can mix it up, and that's called direct mail. And then people call you, and out of so many postcards or so many letters, you get a deal. Right now, I'm just going to give you quick facts of our numbers. I haven't calculated last month's, but we were spending about $3,000 per deal on direct mail. So if we spend $3,000, we would get a deal. But our average deal profit from direct mail only was about $10,000. So we would spend three and we would make 10. So in my eyes, that's a pretty good profit and it's a great lead generation source if you know how to do it. So thank you.
Dream of a life that is purpose-driven and makes a difference? Spiritual Foundations.
So this is the Spiritual Foundations section of the show where we talk about our faith. You know, we're a Christian podcast. We're a Christian company. And if we didn't talk about our faith, we wouldn't be who we are. So I just want to talk about an event that's coming up that my daughter Kaylin and I are able to do. And this comes from the mastermind group that I'm in that I talk about a lot called The Collective Genius. And we were invited to a daddy-daughter mission trip to Guatemala. And we're going to go visit an orphanage and we're going to feed hundreds of families. And this might be the only meal that they get for that day. And we're going to help and preach the gospel. I think it's a Christian organization to an orphanage of about 40 children. And I just think it's so important. Number one, just the fact of being on mission, going out to the ends of the earth and helping people in need. We are so blessed in this country, but also cursed in some ways where we have all this stuff and we have all these distractions, and then we're able to go help children that are living in extreme poverty out of an orphanage, don't have a mom, don't have a dad, and they're living in these extreme poverty conditions. And God calls us to that. The verse comes to mind is Acts 13:47. It says, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." So God calls us to go out, and it doesn't have to be to the, you know, a foreign country. It could be in your local backyard, but he calls us to go out and to be a light for people, to bring that message of the gospel to them, to bring the good news and to bring the light. That's exactly what we're able to do. So I would highly, highly encourage you. This is actually the first mission trip that I've ever been on, and I'm super excited, and I'm able to share it with my 12-year-old daughter. So number one, you know, we're there to help the kids so much. And it's also going to be a great experience for my daughter and myself just to be a servant, to be in no way, shape, or form anything else, but just to serve God. And that's what God calls us to right now. So I would highly encourage you, if you guys have opportunities for missions locally, internationally, whatever it is, I encourage you to take on that experience. That's what God has called us to do. I'm going to introduce you to Bob LaChance. Bob currently owns four businesses, and he helped with one of the nation's largest real estate coaching programs. He was born in Bristol, Connecticut, and Bob played hockey. He went on to play at Boston University, playing a vital role in their 1995 national championship. And then with only three classes left to graduate in his senior year, he dropped out of school and he signed a pro contract with the St. Louis Blues organization. Bob went on to play 8 years pro in the U.S. and Europe. And then at the age of 30, with his career over, he self-educated himself in real estate and began his career in the trenches as a real estate investor. Over the years, he has experienced various setbacks where others would have simply thrown in the towel. Through the ups and downs in both business and in life, his humble commitment in the daily process is something listeners can gravitate towards. And this is a great interview, guys. He breaks it down. He tells some hockey stories, so it's very entertaining. But one of the businesses that he helped start, or actually started, was a virtual assistant business. And he goes into the details of everything a virtual assistant can do. So if you're looking to delegate your business at all, this is a great interview to listen to. Let's get to it with Bob LaChance. And we're back, guys, with our guest for today's show, Bob LaChance out of Connecticut. What's going on, Bob?
Nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you very much. Excited to have you on the show today. Maybe excited to hear some hockey stories here a little bit and stuff too. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of your background and then just what you were doing and then kind of how you got ended up getting into real estate.
Absolutely. Well, first thing I could definitely say is I wasn't born to be a real estate investor. my father actually, he lived in Canada. He was a framer growing up and a contractor. And he came from Canada, went back down from Canada to Lewiston, Maine. And then we ended up in Bristol, Connecticut. I remember working with my dad when I was younger. I think I started probably 10, 11, 12, but I was really more, he wanted me just to be a broom guy. My brothers would make fun of me. I was always a gopher. Hey, Bob, go for this, go for that, go for this. Little did I know when I was a kid, my father's main goal for us three boys, I have two older brothers, were to get hockey scholarships, which is pretty interesting because I'm a father of three kids. And, you know, I think it's a tall challenge and a tall goal to make as a parent to, you know, set out a goal for your children to get scholarships, right? Mm-hmm. Because obviously we know those are not the easiest thing to do. But looking back and looking at all of the things and all the goals my father set for us, I thought it was pretty interesting because two out of three boys did end up getting scholarships, which I think is pretty cool. But within that process, I thought it was a really interesting thing because, you know, when I was in high school, my father never taught me the business of, you know, framing, the business of roofing, exactly what he was in. But he did teach me about teams, about work ethic, about, you know, finishing a job that you started. I would hear homeowners when he was doing work on every home, he'd say how clean the job site was when he's done. He took a lot of pride in that. And I think that resonates to me when I'm older because, you know, what we do now in our business, we have to make sure that we take care of our clients, take care of our customers. So once I went to college, I actually got a full scholarship, like I stated. I played 4 years at Boston University, ended up leaving two classes short of my degree with the aspirations of making the NHL. I got drafted by St. Louis Blues in the sixth round. I think it was a 134th draft pick in the world, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that means there was 133 kids better than me.
That's still pretty good though. Yeah. The whole, all the hockey players out there. So,
yeah, so it was, it's pretty interesting, but you know, looking back, I actually played the first 4 years here in the United States. I played one NHL exhibition game, which is the top league in the world. I played the rest of the time in the league below it, which is, everyone listening, it's the AAA in baseball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which you actually played for the Indianapolis team, correct?
Indianapolis. Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Back in the day, that was the International Hockey League. I absolutely loved it. It was in the fairgrounds. I know, I don't think it's called the fairgrounds anymore, right?
They're still playing at the fairgrounds. Yeah. They're looking to move it to build a new place for it, but yeah, it's still at the fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice. But loved Indianapolis. I hear there's been a lot of buildup of this city as well in different parts. It's absolutely gorgeous. I know a couple of friends that live out there. So that's fantastic. Just to fast forward, I played my last year in the United States, first 1 to 4 years. And then my first year I signed in Europe. So I played in Italy, Milan, Italy, Switzerland for 2 years, and then Hamburg, Germany, which was really, really exciting. So the question was, I know you asked me, is how the heck did you get into real estate? It's pretty interesting because when you don't have a degree and you don't have a network, you got to realize I was in a hockey locker room for 8 years. And, you know, you do have a lot of fun being on the road, playing ice hockey. But one thing you do not have, especially when you live overseas and in Europe, you don't have a network that will hire you, especially if you don't have a degree. So I did what probably everyone does. They Google anything that doesn't need or require any kind of degree. So I said, all right, everything kept coming up, real estate, real estate, real estate, real estate. So I bought a course. I think it's a gentleman by the name of Dave Wisnett. This is back, we're talking about 2003. So it's a long time ago. And it was all about real estate, but not anything specific. But what it did is it sparked my interest in jumping into an industry that did not need or require a degree to get started. So I like to say that I learned this from my father. I had a pretty good work ethic and focus. So when I do actually start something, I jump in with 2 feet. I do not like having any fallback position. And in this case, for me personally, getting my degree would have been something that I could always fall back on. Now, for those of you, me included, that have children, I don't say this is for everybody. Not everyone would believe in this concept because there were times, and there still are times that I always say, you know what, I should go back to get my degree for those two classes because I definitely will be preaching and will be recommending my children get their degrees in college. So That was really the start of me getting interested in real estate.
So awesome. So that's cool. Yeah, great story and stuff. Just thanks for sharing that. And
I just have one quick question about the hockey. Uh-huh. Did you ever get into any fights?
I did get into a couple fights, but I wouldn't say that I am a fighter. I'm more of a playmaker. So yeah.
You weren't the enforcer on the team or anything?
We did have a lot of fighters on our team, so we had a lot of fun. I could tell you stories upon stories, but I do have one quick story. This is a funny one, right? So everyone knows the name Wayne Gretzky, right? Uh-huh. So I would also Google the name Basil McRae and Tony Twist. Right? Those guys were legendary fighters in the NHL. And I was in camp with St. Louis. This is my first year when I left BU, Boston University. The puck was in my feet. So for anyone who knows hockey, they know that back in the day, the game has changed a little bit, but puck was in my feet. I had my head down and someone's looking to take my head off. Like literally like check me and, you know, knock me down. I ended up, someone's coming at me, didn't know who it was. I ended up giving them a reverse check and they landed on their butt like real hard. And I looked down and it was Basil McRae, which Basil McRae was one of the toughest guys in the NHL. And I'm looking down, I'm like, oh no, oh no, no.
I'm dead.
And there's another NHL Hall of Famer on the bench by the name Brett Hull. Starts yelling at him, oh, you're letting a college kid knock you on your butt. You know, he's giving him grief. So the whistle blows and Basil McRae is right next to me, lining up right next to me, just slashing me behind the legs. And I backed up just to get away from him. And that pretty much ruined my whole training camp. And I was horrible the whole training camp. That's a quick little story.
I probably
should have fought him and got beaten up and probably would have been the same outcome anyway, but that's just a little hockey story.
That's funny. We're going to put Basil McRae into our show notes at simplewholesaling.com/episode 151 for all those listeners out there that are hockey fans.
Love it. Right? Love it. So back onto the real estate side. I know I could sit here and probably listen to stories on this hockey stuff. I love it. But back onto the real estate side. So when you finally got into real estate, kind of how did you work? Did you start off like wholesaling like a lot of other people do and then work your way up, or what did you do?
Yeah, you know what? In that course, which I highly recommend that anybody get educated, read as much as they can. There weren't really any mentors or coaching programs back then. So I took my course, I read it, and I learned about farming areas. So what farming areas are, you get in your car and you drive up and down neighborhoods and you farm neighborhoods. You look for anything that is distressed. You know, distressed meaning needs a new roof. It's the siding's falling down. There's a cracked window, whatever it is, high grass. So that's one of the things that I learned from this course. And I also, probably 5 out of 10 real estate signs that I saw, I picked up the phone. I called real estate agents to just meet up with them, tell them I'm a new investor. I'm looking for rehabs. Cause at the time I was a rehabber. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't do any deals, but I coined myself as a rehabber. So I remember getting a showing on this one property. The property is vacant. You could tell it's beat up. When I opened the door, big whiff, big smell of cat pee, like boom. I'm like, huh.
That's the smell of money right there.
Exactly. I didn't know it at the time, but I did remember reading in this course that it was hard at that time to get that out of, you know, the house. Mm. At the time, you had to cut up the floor. You had to take the baseboard in the corners. Obviously, it's a lot different now. But remember, this was back in 2004. So it was listed. It was either 175 or 185. But I made an offer at 135. Now you got to realize I didn't understand how to even finance a property. I didn't, you know, I had some money to rehab the property. I didn't have any contractors, right? Again, I was a rehabber by myself. So I get a call back from the agent and they said, your offer is accepted. And I'm like, what do I do now?
Oh, wow.
The good old first deal, right? And some advice that I always give now is that, you know, when a property is listed, when we all see properties that are listed on the MLS, or when a seller first says they want X amount of money, don't be afraid to offer lower, right? I know, you know, you guys probably hear this a lot, right? Oh, you can't lowball. That's a lowball offer. Well, I offered 135 and they accepted the offer. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good thing. The point is, don't be afraid to make offers. It doesn't matter if you feel that they're lowball. What's the worst? They could say no, or they could counter you, or they could say yes. That's the best case scenario. So anyway, I picked up the Foothills Trader magazine looking for contractors. And I called three or four of them, and only one of them showed up. A guy by the name of Junior. best contractor I've ever had. He just recently moved to Florida. But Junior was incredible. He had a great crew. So I hired him. So we took probably about 31, 32 days, start to finish the rehab. I mean, I was on that rehab all the time. I was back and forth to Home Depot 3 to 4 times a day. It was just a big headache. However, we held an open house and we got a full price offer made. I think it was $32,000 within 2 months, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I knew nothing, right? I knew nothing about real estate. I didn't even know what wholesaling was. I was a rehabber. So, I turned back to the course that I was reading and they said, hey, make sure you join Real Estate Investment Group, or REIT Group, and network with everybody that you can. So I jumped into the REIA group and I saw a pre-foreclosure speaker speak. And at this time, I was a buyer, right? I was buying everything that I found just to educate myself. You know, I was back at Boston University. I was trying everything to not educate myself. Now that I'm out of school, I was trying to buy everything to educate myself. Pretty interesting how that works. Mm-hmm. So I bought the gentleman's course. And then the next REIA group, I talked to probably, I made it a goal before I went there, probably talked to about 20 people. And I said, who is the top pre-foreclosure short sale investor in the state of Connecticut? And about 98% of them pointed to Patrick Precourt, who you guys know him. Pat's my mentor. Pat's a stud. Love him. And Pat said, this is actually really funny. You guys will enjoy this. I said, Pat, you know, I'm not looking for a job. I'm not looking for you to pay me, but do you have any openings? And he goes, you know what? Actually, I do. I need a door knocker. So have you guys ever door knocked before?
I have not.
That is not something that I ever wanted to do. So yeah. We have people that do it.
Yeah.
It's not something you're going to fight over each other to take that role. Right. So Pat gave me a script. And he gave me a list of pre-foreclosure properties back in 2004. You know, just a couple stats back then, out of all homes sold, I think there were about 4% that were sold at that time, you know, through short sales and over-debted properties. So it wasn't, you know, like it was 3, 4, 5, 6 years later where some parts of the country, over 50% of properties needed short sales. It wasn't like that, but there was more than enough properties to go around. So I door knocked for a year straight, every single Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. I would knock on doors. I'd have a script. I'd get through a leave behind campaign, et cetera. So after a year, I brought on somebody else to take my role in door knocking. And then Pat taught me how to negotiate and do short sales. So now I graduated from door knocking to doing short sales. And then we got into coaching and doing a coaching program down in Florida. And through that time, we've done, you know, over 700 short sale transactions, wholesales, rehabs, and commercial. And then we got hooked up with some of the best friends that we have today in Connecticut. This is when they're in Connecticut, through Than Merrill and Paul Asasian, their brother JD, and Conrad Sapilnikov. And they created a company called Fortune Builders. Now we're flipping properties with them, and you know, we were both part of CT REIA, Connecticut Real Estate Association. And, you know, they contacted us because they knew we were also running a great coaching program out of Florida and asked us if we want to join their team to help run a coaching program with them. We're like, you know what? I'm from a team background. Pat's from a team background. All the guys played football and wrestling. So we're like, you know what? Might as well. They're great buddies of ours. So let's do it. So that was the start of that. And they since moved out to California, obviously back a number of years ago. And then through all those times and all the coaching and dealing with different students, also flipping properties. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, still to this day, work with coaching students and flip properties. And through that time, I also started a virtual assistant company as well. So it's pretty, sorry about that long rendition, a long story, but that's just a quick long and short of my story.
No, that's great. Actually, before I want to definitely get into, you know, your virtual assistant business and stuff. But before we do that, just as you were working, doing some coaching and doing some mentoring and stuff, What was that kind of like, did you have that like one big piece of advice, that one big nugget that you would like to just throw out there to all the newbies out there that really just kind of help them out? Just kind of that one big piece.
I want to piggyback on that as well, is maybe to reframe it is, you know, you keep talking about sports, you keep talking about teams. And is that something that you feel like has been really important and has helped you and other people be successful when they learn that component of being on a team? And when you're coaching these students, yeah, what's the one nugget, but what do you see separates the people who make it versus the people who don't?
Yeah, and that's an awesome question. I mean, I always believe there's not one person that's better than a team, right? So that means, you know, if you get into partnerships, you know, it takes, even if you own your own LLC, it takes a team to win a championship. So you start looking at that, and I look at that as, and I highly recommend everybody join up with a coaching program that teaches a lot of different things, all the way from residential to commercial and one-on-one coaches. I think, you know, for me growing up in sports, and for me, I got extremely lucky when I met Pat. You know, Pat knows this. I tell him all the time, he is probably the best mentor, one-on-one mentor I've ever had in business, because, you know, he took me under his wing and he taught me everything from obviously real estate investing to how to speak on stage to, you know, all the way to from family stuff as well. Pat's just an incredible, incredible individual. So I would recommend coaching programs. I would recommend mentors. I'd recommend, you know, if you see something you're interested in online in the real estate investing space, there's nothing wrong with getting yourself educated on all real estate. And the reason why I say this is because, I went from doing a rehab, jumping into the short sale world. And I feel that what I've learned in the short sale industry allowed me to wholesale, allowed me to get into, you know, my business now, allowed me to get into commercial. So I really think understanding niches of real estate investing, I'm not talking about getting into shiny objects in. I'm just talking about the more ways for us as investors, we understand how to make money, I think the better off we all are. So for example, if I'm a wholesaler, I should know how to do a scope of work. I should know how to price out repairs. I should know when I'm walking into a property. So if you guys are wholesaling me a property, right? Or if I'm wholesaling you a property, the more information I have for you, for instance, hey, you know what? I could walk through a property and say it needs about $30,000 worth of work, but please go do your due diligence. At least there's a framework on what needs to be done or some sort of baseline of what needs to be done. I think that's really, really, really important. So again, long-winded answer, but you know, the team that you have in your business, whether it's attorneys, mortgage brokers, contractors, acquisition specialists, et cetera, is really the backbone of, you know, what you can and can't accomplish in this industry, I believe.
Yeah, I love that. You know, sometimes, especially when you're laser focused on a certain thing, like, you know, we wholesale 95% of our properties, you stop learning about other things, but there's so many different opportunities out there that, you know, I was so glad just to read the books or take courses or even taking the real estate licensing course. You know, when I was wholesaling, I did it for 2 or 3 years before I took the real estate licensing course. And I got into that class and I was like, I didn't even know what some of the deeds were called. And I was doing this business and I was like, what is all this stuff? Just educating myself, but just kind of helps me as an expert in that field. I really want to dive into, you know, you've started this virtual assistant business now, and I'm not sure how long you've been doing that, but kind of take us into that. And why is that something that you were interested in the first place?
Well, let me take a step back. So the reason why I got involved in this is within the coaching program, we are always looking to help people, help investors get better, whether it's a service, whether it's a product, but help get better with the end results of their business. And if you can do that and you could just look it through, I say this a lot, I say, if you could look through the lens of somebody else, that is the best thing to be able to do in life. Because let's look at the real estate investor. Real estate investors, if you have 100 real estate investors, I might be off by a percentage, but if you have 100 or even 1,000 real estate investors, you know, probably 90 to 95% of them are brand new and or they're working part-time or full-time. Maybe they want to change what they're doing. But I took all of this from the last 4 years. I took a lot of different data and I looked back at, you know, why individuals jump into real estate or why they make decisions or go into real estate. It's because number one, they either want to make more money than what they're doing now, or they want a better lifestyle. So it's one of those two things. So now when I look at all of that data with all of the, you know, coaching students that I've coached, I look at all my real estate investors, I even look at my own business and I say, all right, what is it? If you're looking back, what is a service that will help real estate investors either number one, have a better lifestyle or grow their business? So back in 2003, I got introduced to the virtual assistant world and it was more on the real estate agent side. So there's more prevalent in that industry rather than the investor world. Now, my background in the education platform and training and mentoring and coaching and coupled with doing 700 plus short sale transactions in wholesaling and rehabbing, I saw that there was a need in the industry, which was help. And what I mean by help, it's affordable, trained help. Now, I live in the state of Connecticut, and for me, if I'm going to hire somebody, it costs a lot of money for me to hire somebody. You know, it's going to cost me at least $18, $19, $20 an hour to get somebody that is not, you know, they're not through the roof, right? But it is, meaning through the roof, that's kind of an open-ended kind of thing. But it's someone that's typically not college educated, because when you see individuals that come out of college, they want a little more money than that, right? So, and I'm just looking through the lens of the state of Connecticut. If I have to hire someone and they need, let's say, $5,000 a month to live because they got to pay taxes, right? Or even $4,000 a month and they have to pay taxes on that. That's $48,000 a year out of my pocket. You know, you got insurance. There's a lot of hidden costs there. And I was looking, is there another way to help out those individuals? And once I started learning in 2004, I launched my first business, my first virtual assistant company. And for $1,500, $1,536 to be exact, we could hire an individual from a different company, which is a virtual assistant. And that is the net pay. We don't have to pay any extra money out of pocket. I was like, whew. This could be a great business model if I could figure out a lot of other things, because there's a lot of other things by starting a company in a different country, et cetera, et cetera. But I tested that for 2 years with this one company to make sure the proof of concept worked. And once we figured out that the proof of concept worked, went out on our own. This is when I had a business partner at that time, went on our own. And then, you know, obviously we launched it within different masterminds and things like that, and found out that this industry actually does have a huge longevity because of, you know, I look at it as, you know, being one of the first pioneers of bringing it to the investor world, because more in the agent world, which, you know, through all of these years found out some of the really, really big pain points for not only my own business, but for other investors on how to fill those pain points. Mm,
definitely. I love that. I mean, we have two virtual assistants that work with our team, and same concept. You know, I was at that point where I needed some help. I needed some administrative tasks done. I needed just some things done that could be done virtually. So I wrote down a list of everything that you didn't have to be here in the office in order to do. And I started creating training videos. We hired a couple of virtual assistants and they've worked out so well. We've had them for a couple of years and I would never go back. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, we've been very impressed with it and stuff. So what country do you guys operate out of then, Bob?
Out of the Philippines. Okay. So that's where all virtual assistants are. And it's kind of funny. You know, a lot of us real estate investors, We have a lot of investors come to me and say, Bob, you know what? I know I need help, but what do I do first? Right. So that's a common theme. I don't know. Did you guys feel like that when you first started jumping into the virtual assistant game and using VAs?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't really know exactly what to do. And then the other part of it was, since I didn't have them on the team yet, the tasks that I thought I held back tasks thinking that they can't do that. But they can do it and they do it better than me.
Yeah. We Brett and I just had that conversation on Friday of like, why are you still doing this, Brett? Like, this is something that Roxanne should be doing. Like, yeah. And it was like, oh yeah, she should. Yeah, let's do this. So
yeah. And I've been doing it for years.
Crap. It's a comfort thing, right? A lot of times it's a comfort thing for us.
Yeah.
But no, you know what's funny? So the way I would answer that too, the first and foremost, the thing that's really sitting in front of you is what's our biggest pain point, right? So when I start analyzing someone's business, I say, okay, first and foremost, what's your biggest pain point? And usually that's the part, they'll give you a half answer, right? Just like I did. I went through the same process where you don't know exactly what it is, but you have an idea. So I like to break it down into five simple steps. Again, we work with property management companies, we work with Airbnb companies, we work with wholesalers, rehabbers, et cetera, right? So this flow, I like to break the real estate process into five simple steps. And it's very, very easy to look through this lens. And I know a lot of us listening to this are very visual. Me too. So I like to break it up into five steps. The first one, and I'll go over some tasks too, and it'll be very clear once I'm done going through this process. The first one is obviously marketing. The second step is lead intake. Third step is deal analysis. Fourth step is offer/contract. And the fifth step is selling. So if I'm going to break that down, it's kind of the same concept too, if you're a real estate agent, right? You obviously have to market for listings. You got to market for buyers. You got to take those leads in. You got to run CMAs. You got to get those properties under contract, and then you got to sell the list. Same concept in real estate. So number one, in the investing world and investing space, first one is marketing. VAs could take care of every single thing marketing. So I'll break that down. Again, you have two really categories under marketing. That's building a buyer's list. Like, you guys probably have an absolutely incredible buyer's list for the volume that you do, right? Mm-hmm. And the other step is marketing for motivated sellers. But there's another little sliver in there that sometimes us as investors, that virtual assistants can do for you. And that is having a social media presence. I'm a huge, huge believer for those of us in the real estate industry. I would spend, you know, some time on having a presence. And it doesn't need to take any of your time. You can outsource this to a VA. And what that looks like and why we do this, first I'll start with the end result and why we do this. You really want a presence, because what's the first thing, maybe first or second thing, when somebody is introduced to your name, not even to you yet, where do we typically go?
I go to Facebook. We just hired a nanny a couple of weeks ago, and when we heard their name, we went to Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I go to Facebook, I go to LinkedIn, and I go to Instagram. Those are the top three that I go to.
You know what's funny about it is because we interviewed some nannies, and we went to their Facebook, and it's funny, like, that's why we hired someone, and it's also why we didn't interview someone, you know? So be careful what you put out there.
That is so true. I agree 100%. And also, on top of that, there's also a sense of everybody is always looking. So what you say is what you post is really, really important. And it's a credibility tool. So if you're looking for private money, you're looking for hard money, right? It's a really, really good place. Know that they're watching. So if you're posting something on a daily basis in a private money lender, this is just an example, could be a seller or buyer, but a private money lender looks you up on Facebook and they're going to see you posting every day. They're going to have a lot more confidence in working with you because they know that you're active on a daily basis. So that's another result and one of the reasons why I'm a firm believer in posting on social media, those three sites, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, typically your VA hours, is really, really, really important. So that's one of them. Another one is, let's just talk about marketing for what else VAs can do for it? Marketing for buyers. They can obviously scrape leads off of Google. They can also go to LinkedIn, join all the groups. I had my VA go to the CT REIA, so that's our Real Estate Investment Association group, join the group and go through each name, scrape their names, put them on a spreadsheet and outbound dial them to gauge what exactly they're looking for in reference to properties, right? Are they looking for two bed, one bath, three bed, two bath, the price range, the area, you know, how much fix up they're required? Are they only looking for small rehabs, big rehabs, et cetera, right? So that's just a great, great task that you can have VAs do for you on the buyer side. You know, obviously in Facebook, there's buy and sell groups. There's different groups that real estate groups that you could also do the same thing to. So that takes a lot of time off of, you know, any of our plates rather than doing ourselves. That's another thing I could do on the buyer side. You guys have any questions on that before I keep?
No, if you just, I know we're probably got about 5 or 6 more minutes left in the show. So if you want to just go through with some of these other ones, but I think, you know, you really nailed it.
I told you before we started, I could talk.
So,
So there's Craigslist posting, there's outbound dialing, pulling down lists, skip tracing them, outbound dialing to gauge seller motivation. There's direct mail they can manage, MLS offers, you know, setting up podcasts as well for individuals like myself, like you guys. You want to get on other podcasts, referrals, et cetera. So that's under marketing. Lead intake, that's creating a follow-up system. I know one of the pain points that I had in my business before I started using VAs was actually creating a follow-up system. So for instance, if you set up direct mail, you do radio ads, whatever types of, you know, marketing you do, outbound dialing, you get a ton of leads. Now, for me, I realized that I only followed up with them one time and then I would get new leads in. I would call another one. And then, you know, before you know it, you have 50 old leads, which you only try to call them once. Those are really good leads. You know, in our office and many offices around the country, it takes 5 to 7 times before they respond to you, whether it's direct mail, outbound dialing, et cetera. So setting up a outbound dialing follow-up system is absolutely imperative. So that's number 2, lead intake. Number 3, deal analysis. VAs are fantastic at running comps, whether you use the MLS, whether you use Zillow, Trulia, et cetera, Redfin. They can run comps for you and send them right over to you. As soon as you get a lead, run those comps for you and send them over. They could also write up contracts for you. That's number 4. And number 5, on the sales side, if you are a wholesaler, they could upload picks. They could, you know, send all of these properties over to your buyer's list on the sales side as well. They could help you with transaction coordination from contract to close as well. There's some tasks there that they could do. I know you guys have a couple more questions probably, so I'll put that again.
No, thanks. Bob, for putting all that out there. So I guess bottom line is there's a lot that virtual assistants can help you with your business because you named a lot of things that I didn't even think about. And I'm sitting here taking notes, especially, you know, social media presence and setting up podcasts, things like that. So real quick, again, what is the website of your virtual assistant business?
It is revaglobal.com, REVAglobal.com.
Awesome. Guys, that's going to be in our show notes at simplewholesaling.com/episode151. And it's about that time for Brian. Let's do it.
Yeah. Going deep.
So we just have time for one question here, Bob. And I just want to kind of go back and dial it back because you talked about your dad a little bit and how his work ethic was just a huge instrument in your life. And he really, you know, pushed you guys. He set goals for you guys to get scholarships in college. Really reminds me of my dad because one of my dad's goals for me was to get a scholarship, which I did as a basketball scholarship in college. But I remember he would just have a poster board sitting out and we put little stickers on it every time we did drills, you know, in basketball, just things like that. So I want to take it back to, you know, your relationship with your dad and maybe even those parents out there, how they can teach their kids some of that work ethic. So what was that relationship like? And what are some of the things, again, that your dad taught you that you took with you now to your business?
You know, it's funny, and that's an incredible question. It's the first time I've ever been asked that awesome question. I think one thing that comes to my mind is consistency. He was always very, very consistent on, number one, his message, on, you know, what he showed us as a parent, his work ethic. You know, he had us set goals for ourselves, like shooting, and this might be something that's very simple, but for you, it would be shooting basketballs, right? For my dad would set a goal each week for us to shoot hockey pucks, mm-hmm. right? Both forehand and backhand. You would also set a goal. We used to do what's called a Russian circuit in the basement for getting in shape. And we used to run telephone poles. And I think the word that comes to my mind is consistency, because, you know, as a dad, he was very consistent with his messaging, with what he expected from us. And even when he was working in framing and contracting, he was consistent always with his clients and customers. So I think that's the word that comes to my mind.
I love that.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. So appreciate that so much.
Definitely. Yeah. Consistency is that's huge. So in this business, if you guys are just tuning in, I'm talking to Bob here and just talking about being consistent every day. It doesn't have to be something huge. It could just be that small thing. You know, for me, it was shooting a basket. I was always trying to hit 10 free throws before going into the house before dinner. And for Bob, it was, you know, hitting those, how many hockey pucks are you going to shoot, forehand or backhand? So what is it in your business that you're going to do each day? How many motivated sellers are you going to talk to? How many new leads are you going to try to market and bring in each day? How many offers are you going to make? It's just those little things, those daily things that we can, you know, take with us in our business.
It's time for a touch of randomness.
So, Bob, we're going to end this show on a fun note. We've had a serious show. You've gave us so much great information, and now it's time for a little bit of fun. So this is called the Touch of Randomness section, and we're going to ask you two questions. So name the first thing that comes to your mind. Number one, what is your favorite holiday and why?
I would have to say Christmas, because I keep saying young kids, but my oldest today right now is 15 years old, but just to see their faces when you come down Christmas and the tree lit up and all the presents and them opening up presents, I think that's the most joyful thing that any parent could actually see, is their kids opening up presents.
Nice. Like it. So who is your favorite hockey team?
Well, I would have to say the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Because I did not expect that.
Yeah. My dog's name is Crosby. So for Sidney Crosby,
all right,
gotta be the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Awesome. Other than hockey, what is your, like, do you have another like diehard sports team?
You know, I'm a Yankees fan, but I also like the New England Patriots, since I'm in Connecticut here. Yeah. And we got my man Tom Brady. I know some people don't like him because he's very,
he always
very
wins.
Good, he's the best.
That's true. Awesome. He's always on top.
That's right.
That's awesome. Well, hey, thanks, Bob, for joining us again on the show today. Such a great episode. We want to give you one last opportunity to tell us, where is the best place to find out information about your company?
Absolutely. Just check out my website at revaglobal.com. That's REVAglobal.com. You could always email me direct, which is bob@REVAglobal.com. And I appreciate you guys inviting me here, and thank you very much.
Awesome. And that's a wrap. This is Bob LaChance out of Connecticut. Thank you so much, Bob. We wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Simple Wholesaling. If you enjoyed today's show, please head over to iTunes, give us a rating, and leave a review. Be sure to pick up a copy of our free ebook, The Simple Wholesaling System, by joining our community over at www.simplewholesaling.com/our-system.
If you are someone out there, if you are looking for an investment property, especially around the Indianapolis area or the surrounding Donut Counties, please go to our website at simplewholesaling.com. We have all of our properties on there. We have the prices. We have details. There's comps. There's maps. There's pictures. There's walkthrough videos. There's all that kind of stuff out there. So if you are looking for an investment property or just a property that you would like to have to fix up to live in yourself, feel free to check out our website, like I said, at simplewholesaling.com, or reach out to me at brian@simplewholesaling.com, and hopefully we can find the property for you.
So today's show is sponsored by our house buying company, which is Simple Quarters LLC. And the reason why I want to mention this is going into 2019, one of our pain points is the capital needed to purchase the inventory of the houses that we own. Typically, we are holding anywhere from 50 to 70 houses at any given time, and we're cleaning them out and flipping those houses. And we're looking for private lenders, private partners to partner with us to earn a steady, consistent return on their money and to partner with an established company like us. We've been doing this 11 years, and we have a handful of lenders that we work with, and we're looking to add a couple of more in 2019. So if you're interested, please check us out. Our website is simplequarters.com, or email me at Brett, B-R-E-T-T, at simplequarters.com.